If you have your Bible and want to turn this morning, I want to go back. And I looked at this Wednesday night in Hebrews chapter number 12. And I want to go back just a minute and I want to just look at a couple of words. And I want to just kind of proceed just a little further from where we are right now in Hebrews chapter number 12. If you got an old Schofield, it's on page 1303. But we sure do appreciate the Lord this morning and all that He does. Appreciate what Jesus did for us. Appreciate Him coming to this world, becoming a man, taking on flesh, just like me and you. But praise God, He was perfect in His flesh. And we'll never be that way till we get the glory, and then we'll have a body like unto Him, and it'll be perfect. Amen. I'll never be perfect here, but I will be one day. So will you. Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 2, He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We want to preach this morning just as sincerely as we can on this. He says, looking unto Jesus, and we touched on this Wednesday night, talking about looking at Jesus. And that word looking in Rep. 1828, it actually says to consider attentively, to really look at Jesus. Amen? It means to take a serious look at. It means to fix your eyes upon in a trusting manner. Amen? So that's what it's telling us here when it says looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. We look to Him, but we said, as Christ the Savior. We look to Him for salvation, which is a definite act. That's what you have to do. If you want to stay away from hell, if you want to be saved and go to heaven to be with Him one day, we can all be together again, then you have to have that definite act of salvation. So we look to Christ for salvation. We look at Christ for sanctification. Amen? We look at Him for that separation. That ought to be a definite habit. It ought to be a habit that we're pulling ourselves away from the world, separating ourselves unto Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And then we ought to be looking for Christ. Unto glorification. Amen. Be glorified with Him one day in a little while. That ought to be our definite hope. So we have a definite act. We have a definite habit. And if you have a definite act and definite habit, praise God, then you'll have a definite hope. And our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to just speak to you just a minute this morning on what Christmas means to me. On what Christmas means to me. We all got an ideal of what Christmas means, and we can look at it in all different directions. The Bible tells us about it in all different directions, amen? It tells us from the very beginning to the ending exactly how it's going to play out and how it's going to take place. We see in Genesis chapter number 5, we see the fall in the garden when man became sinful and they fell and messed up. Amen? Have you ever messed up? Yep. Amen. Everybody in here can raise your hand. We can admit it. Or just go ahead and admit it. Bible said we all sin and come short of glory of God. And not just you. You myself feel sinful, but praise God, we've all sinned. That's why Jesus come to save old sinners. Amen. So He said that we'd have that fall, and then He said that God had promised, made a promise to Abraham that He would provide a Savior in Genesis chapter 22. And then we see the prophecy of the Messiah coming, the promise of what we're celebrating this coming week, next this coming Thursday. And as Isaiah chapter number 9, He talks about that promise Messiah, that Prince of Peace that would come. Amen. And we're expecting and looking to that. And so we see that playing out, and we see that in Isaiah chapter number 11, it tells us the foreshadowing of Jesus Christ in His glory. Amen. We see Jesus Christ, praise God, as He reigns and rules, praise God, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we can say this story that we see here and how it plays out. In the midst of all the problems that come, the fears that come, praise God, the true message of Christmas, praise God, it's not all about that, praise God, but it comes with all the hope and all the goodwill and all the cheer that it talks about here in Luke chapter number 2. If you want to look over there with us, it speaks of that God, that promise that we have from Him, the help and the hope that we have showed to you this morning in this little skit, how God would play it out for a lost in a dying world. We see the message of Christmas and how it's been it's been misapplied and misunderstood for so many years. We've got going off in so many different directions. Amen. Christmas is not really what it's supposed to be anymore, because we've commercialized it and we've put all the emphasis and all these other things. Looked at business profitability. We've looked at shopping and gifts and tinsel. We've looked at toys and celebrations. That's all good and well in its place. But the most important thing about Christmas is the Lord Jesus Christ. The gift part is about the greatest gift that's ever been given to humanity. Amen? The greatest gift. You say, well, I preach, I'm looking back at all these years. Let me think, what was the best gift that I ever got? You know, one time I got a bicycle. Yay, glory to God. What a blessing that was. Hey, I'd wanted one for a long time. Amen. We weren't rich people. I got a brand new Schwinn 20-inch bicycle. Glory to God. Hey, praise. I was a happy fellow that Christmas. Amen. I run the tires off that thing. You say, was that great, the greatest gift that you ever got? No, the greatest gift I ever got was when Jesus saved me by His marvelous grace. When God Almighty sent His only begotten Son down to a lost and dying world, down to me, so that through Him I could be saved. Amen. Amen. So it wasn't about the commercial stuff. It wasn't about the celebration, the tinsel. And then some people would say, well, you know, we'll think about Bethlehem, and we'll think about, you know, the star in the sky, and we'll think about the angels and them singing a glorious song. But it's not so much about all that. But it's about the Savior. It's about the one that they come to see. It's about the one they were singing about. And then you'll see those others that's more cynical. And they'll say, "Well, preacher, you know, where is the Prince of Peace in this old troubled and disturbed world?" Amen. So, where is the promise of His coming? Why isn't He here already? I wonder the same thing myself. Amen. He'll not put up with this foolishness too much longer, but He'll come. He said it's going to wax worse in the end. He's going to come pluck us out of here, take us home. That's a promise that we have in Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen. We're looking for that glorious Savior, the Redeemer of mankind. And it's not going to be long. But it's not about this. The real Christmas message goes far deeper than this. It reaches way further down, praise God, than we can look up. Amen. What it does, it heralds the entrance, praise God, of the God of glory down into human history. God Almighty comes down to where we are. Comes down, praise God, to be a relevant part in our lives. And we can see Him. Amen. We have what He's promised us. We have what He tells us in the volume of His book. Amen. Down here on planet Earth. So heaven condescends. Heaven descends down to heaven to where we are. You say, preacher, how did it do it? Through Jesus Christ the Lord. Praise God. Heaven came down to us. See, we couldn't get high. Hey, I don't know about you. I can't reach high enough, Brother Adam, to get up there. I can't reach high enough to get a hold of Him. But I'm glad that He can condescend. He can reach down far enough to get a hold of me. His arm is not shortened that it cannot save. He's still in the saving business today. Praise God. He's still working, praise God. He's still doing that He does best. Amen. And I'm glad for that, ain't you? Ain't you glad God's still on the throne? You say, well, preacher, it seems like everything's so difficult today. Sometimes I wonder who's in control of this thing. Let me tell you who's in control. He is. Amen. He is in control. No matter what happens, no matter how chaotic the world may get around us, we can put our faith and trust in Him. That's what we was talking about, looking to Him. We got to keep our eyes fixed on the prize. Amen. Hey, listen, if you're going through this world, and you see something that you'd really desire, something you'd really like to have, what do? We focus on it. Amen? We make that our priority. And we focus on it. That's what He was talking about in Hebrews. He said looking. He said take that consistent look. Take that good look at it, praise God. Focus on it that you might have it. Amen. I don't know about you. I'm pretty bullheaded. Now, you wouldn't believe that, but I am. Amen? boy, when I really, really want some praise, I can knuckle down till I get it. Work at it, praise God. I've always been taught that from a little bitty fellow. Mom said, pray, if you want that, should you work for it? Amen. That you might attain to it, should you get it? What we need, praise God, more than anything in the United States of America, in our families, in our homes, is the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He needs to be preeminent in everything that we do and everything that we are. So we see here, we see this, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see, they're crying out for peace in a world where there is no peace. We see a herald comes in, and it's as though there's a trumpeter in the portals of glory. He stands in the turrets of time, and he cries out to a world, praise God, that's in despair, it's hopeless, it's frustrating, looking for a coming Savior for the Prince of Peace. Amen. What are you looking for today? We see a lot of people looking for financial advancement. A lot of people are looking to move up in their job. A lot of people are looking for all different avenues of things. We ought to be looking for the Prince of Peace. We ought to be looking for the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, because He's coming again just like He said He would. Praise the Lord. In that world to come, praise God, it's just right over yonder. And the answers, praise God, to the greatest, He holds the answers to the greatest plagues that this world could ever ask. He holds all the answers to everything that would so easily beset us, as the Bible says. The things that would plague humanity. And they're not a few. There's a lot of things, praise God, that would beset us. There's a lot of things that would try to discourage us. There's a lot of things that would try to get in the way. But let me just tell you something this morning right quickly. That's not what Christmas is about. Amen. What Christmas means to me, praise God, is about a Lord and Savior who loved me enough, praise God, that He'd send His only begotten Son to this old sin-cursed world. Amen. Praise God. The Christmas message. You say, preacher, is it important? Hey, it's relevant. Amen. The Christmas message, it's relevant today in every heart, in every home, in every church, in every schoolhouse, in every person's heart. The Christmas message should be relevant. It should be important. This time of year, praise, well, not only this time of year, but every time of the year, it should be important. Amen. The Christmas message, praise God, is relevant. Not only is it relevant, but it's revolutionary. The Christmas message, praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ, He changes everything. He changes the thinking. He changes our thinking, our attitudes, how we used to think about things. I don't think about things like that no more. Things that I used to do, praise God, I don't do no more because my attitude's changed. the thought of Christmas, the thought of the Lord Jesus Christ, praise, He changes my thinking. It's revolutionary in what it does in our hearts and our minds. So you got Him in our homes. You got Him in our schools and our churches and all, and in ourselves. And then you see the revolutionary work that it does. It starts changing us. It starts molding and making you and turning you and helping you to see that there's something better than what we have here in this little old speck of earth called earth. Amen. You know, in God's great cosmos, Brother Danny, we're just riding around on a globe that's just a speck of dust. Amen. We worry and fret up. They say, well, you know, we've got to take care of Mother Nature. I don't know no Mother Nature, but I know the good God of glory, and I know that He said that we are in His hand, and He's got it all in control, and He cast out the stars on the span of His fingers. That's the God we serve today. Amen. So not only is it relevant, but it's revolutionary, praise God. The message of Christmas. Amen. Not only is it revolutionary, but it's reassuring. We have an assurance, a reassurance, praise God, that no matter what besets us in this world, there's one that's far better than this world that we live in. We have one that we know is already, He's already graduated out of here. He's already defeated all the obstacles, all the battles, praise God, that we have or will have in this world. The Lord Jesus Christ has already come through them. Amen. Not only has the Lord Jesus Christ defeated the devil, but He's beat him down. Amen. He has beat him down. He's overcome him. He got victory over him. Amen. Praise God. He supersedes the devil, praise the Lord. And how did he do that? Because of Christmas. Because in Christmas, God delivered unto us the greatest gift that was ever given in Christ Jesus the Lord. That birth in Bethlehem of Judea. Just exactly the way God said it would take place. Amen. So you can see this summed up in probably just, old fellow said, people have said over the years, you can sum it up in three words. You can sum it up in the cradle. You can sum it up in the cross. And you can sum it up in the crown. Amen. It took the cradle, praise God. He was born a babe in Bethlehem. Amen. A precious Lamb of God, the Son of God, came from a distant country, praise God, a far country, and was born in flesh and dwelt among men. But praise God, he didn't stay a baby. And if we ain't careful, we'll leave Jesus in Christmas time. We'll leave him in a manger in Bethlehem. But he isn't a baby in Bethlehem. He grew up, praise God, until as a 12-year-old. He would confound the wise. He was asking questions and answering questions, praise God, before the scholars of his time. And they'd wonder, how does this young man have this knowledge? He's just a carpenter's son from Bethlehem. Amen. Let me just clear something out here. Somebody's talking earlier about clarifying things in the Bible. When the Bible says that Jesus Christ was a carpenter's son, that Jesus grew up in the home of a carpenter. If you go back and study history, at the time that he was growing up, his father Joseph wouldn't have been a man to just work in when woodwork. He would have been a rock mason. He would have been taking hammers and chisels, praise God, and he'd be taking big old boulders and turning them into furniture and other things that could be used. I said that to say this. You see sometimes a picture of Jesus as this little old skinny feller, praise, but I won't tell you, he wasn't. Jesus Christ was a man of men. Amen. He wasn't any popular. Let me tell you what he was. He was masculine. Amen. Hello, you young men, praise God. Hey, you ought to be like Jesus, praise God. You ought to be a man. Ought to stand up, be masculine, praise God. Be a man because that's who you are. Praise Lord. And you young ladies, praise God. Hey, you be feminine. You be a woman, praise God, a girl, because that's who God created you to be. Amen. God has purpose. God has a plan. Just like he had a plan for Jesus to come and be born in Bethlehem. Praise God. So we see him. We see the cradle. We see the cross. So he didn't stay little. He didn't stay out over in that school and keep teaching and instructing. He grew up to be a man, praise God. He went to the cross of Calvary. Amen. He went to the cross. They nailed him on the cross after they abused him and beat him to it. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 that he was, or 52, said he was unrecognizable. He was beaten so bad. His flesh was shredded on his body. And he did that for me and you. He took that. He could have called at any moment 10,000 angels from heaven and they would have come down and rescued him. And he could have spoken it in every one of those soldiers, every one of those people that were prosecuting him and hanging him on the cross could have been destroyed. But he hung out there. And he hung on that cross, praise God, till it was finished. Yeah, how do you know? Because he hung, he looked up to heaven. He said, "It is finished." And a price of redemption was paid for me and you. So we see the cradle and we see the cross, but we also see a crown. One day, praise God, in a little while, he is going to reign. He is supreme, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Whether the world wants to know him as that, whether you want to know him or that as that, praise God, that don't matter. It doesn't change who he is. Praise God, from the cradle to the cross to the crown. That was his destination. That's what God Almighty had in store for his son when he left the portals of glory. Praise his holy name. And he done that for me and you. So we see in this first Christmas night that they played out some marvelous thing in your viewing. How Jesus Christ, praise God, he tells us that of an angel coming to some fearful shepherds. If you look over in Luke chapter number 2, you can see this story as we kind of try to just pick up on it here. They already had the journey. They come because they had to pay their taxes. They come to a place and there's no room for Him. I want to tell you this morning, listen to me. You better make room for Jesus in your heart. Amen. You better be like that. You better be like that innkeeper. You better push everything else back, and you better find Him a place in your heart. It would be a horrible thing to die and go to an awful place called hell because we didn't choose to allow to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to believe on Him and ask Him into our heart and receive Him as our Lord and our Savior. It'd be a horrible, tragic, a tragedy. But praise God! I'm glad that He gives us an opportunity to be saved. But because of that, the fearful shepherds. Verse number 8 of Luke chapter 2, it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." I want you to notice that word flock there, it's not plural. They weren't looking over flocks, they were looking over one flock. These shepherds had, glory to God, somebody ought to just jump up and shout. Amen. Glory. Hey, listen, they had the priority. They were watching over the sheep that were going to be sacrificial lambs. They had not just a flock. They had a special flock. And this special flock was a flock that would be sacrifices unto the Lord according to the law. And these shepherds was watching over them by night. Amen. They didn't only watch over by day, they watched over by night. It was a 24-hour task to keep those little sheep, keep those sheep safe, say praise God, so that they could come to the birthing room and deliver those little old baby sheep that one day, praise God, they could be brought up perfect without a spot or a blemish. That was what Jesus was. He come without spot or blemish or any such thing. And he walked on this earth, went to the cross, died, praise God, for your sin and mine, rode victory over death and the grave, and sitting at the right hand of the Father in glory this evening. Amen. Praise His holy name. That's where we see Him. It said, "Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them." Can you imagine that? You know, when you put this place in darkness, just a little bitty flicker of light will light up a whole lot. Amen. Can you imagine being there in the darkness? And all of a sudden, in that shepherd's field, that special place, amen. So you got special people in a special place, and God turned the light on for them, amen. Praise God. Hey, listen, it would be equivalent to our having these magnificent spotlights at a football game that you flip on, praise God, and it lights the whole stadium. God would light it up for everybody to see, amen. That was His intention, that all could see. That all could come to repentance. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. That would be a frightening thing, wouldn't it? Amen. Could you imagine these little old shepherds in the fields, and all they'd ever had was a torchlight or a candlelight. Maybe a lantern. And their lanterns, hey listen, their lanterns was a little old thing, his little round thing, maybe a bigger round thing that had oil in it with a wick coming out of it, and that carried around with them, and it kind of lit right around where you was and where you was walking. But on this night, it wasn't just any night, it was a special night. Praise God, the magnificent thing, what Christmas means to me, that's a light of glory. It come down from heaven and come down to me and you, and it lit up, praise God, so that our lives can be lit as well. Amen. I'm not going to walk around in darkness no more because the glorious light of my Savior shines in my soul. They were scared. They were afraid of this bright light. Amen. We would be too. Amen. Such a marvelous light that would shine in that darkness. But these angels, amen, listen. Listen to what these angels said. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold," they said, "well, pay attention. I want to tell you something." He said, "For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Now, I want you to notice that word "shall" this morning. Shall. That don't mean could be. That don't mean might be. It don't mean it ought to be. He said, praise God, it shall be. Amen. That this light, praise God, was direct them to that good thing that would be. See, the promise had already been given. If you look back over in Luke chapter number 1, the angel Gabriel, he come to Mary, and he speaks to her. He said, and behold, verse number 31, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, that shall, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Amen. Same word, means same thing. And behold, he said, he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. That's all shalls. He said, that's as good as in the bank. He said, it's coming to pass, it's going to happen. Amen. So this isn't nothing that wasn't told that people couldn't believe. And said, he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Amen. Praise God. That's a lot of shouts. That ought to bring a lot of shouting. Praise God. That was promises from God Almighty sent through his holy angel to tell Mary. Praise God. She said, How shall this be? Seeing I know not a man. She said, I'm hearing what you're saying, but I'm not getting the shall part. Amen? I think a lot of times we're hearing what God has to say, but we're not getting the shall part. You get the shall part when you realize because it's the shall part because God said so. Amen? And God can't lie. He's immutable. He cannot lie. He tells you the truth. And Jesus Christ is the truth. And the angel answered and said unto her, verse 35, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest, now watch this, shall overshadow thee. That's how it's going to happen. He said, therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Who do you call him this morning? Man. Well, I call him Jesus. I tell you who he is. He's the Son of God. Amen. That's who he is because God said so. Amen. He said, behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month of her which was called barren. Amen. Cousin Elizabeth, praise God, she's conceived the son. One who has considered her couldn't conceive because God said so, praise God. She conceived. In her womb, 6 months, was John Baptist, the forerunner to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was coming. He was going to proclaim and he was going to make way to the path of the Lord for his coming. And he said, the angel says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. You know the rest of the story, the Paul Harvey version. She rode up and went to Elizabeth, stayed with her for 3 months. I think myself she stayed till Elizabeth was delivered and then she left out of there. Praise God. But he tells us here, praise the Lord, that the Lord's speaking to us and he's speaking to the church and he says, the angel's saying, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. So what did he have there? What Christmas means to me is God Almighty not only promised, but he delivered on his promise. He delivered on his promise. He also promised that he would save you and me if we believe on him. He'll deliver on his promise if you believe. Amen. He's speaking to your heart. He wants to save you. He wants to love you. He wants to help you if we believe. Amen. The meaning of Christmas. It's that good news. He said, I bring you good tidings of great joy. He said, that good news from heaven. He said, this ain't news from across the street. This ain't news. Hey, you see, this ain't news from over across the globe. He said, but this is good news from heaven that God has sent down to you. They feared they was in that bright light. Could you imagine? I mean, this is information. Now, this is the promise that had been given. We told you in the beginning, all the way back to Abraham. After the fall, because of men's sinfulness, God made us a promise that he'd save us by his marvelous grace. Amen. And he said, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now notice that shall. It's not just a few. It's just not some people believe, well, you know, some's predestined to be saved and some people predestined to die and go to hell. No, we're all predestined to be born again and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a whosoever will, praise God, salvation to all who believe. Amen. To all who believe and who will receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's wanting to save us this morning. He's wanting to help us. So what is the true meaning? What does Christmas mean to you this morning? Amen. What it tells me here is that God sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, to save people from earth, from their sins, amen, to save you and me, people like us. He says in verse number 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David. Now notice, it's personal. He said, for unto you. He said, it came just for you. You said, preacher, it didn't come just for me. They said, no, he came just for you. If you was the only person in the universe, praise God, Jesus Christ would have come for you. He loves you. Amen. Praise God. Could you imagine if you was the only person on a desert island and there was nobody there with you, praise God, Jesus Christ would come to where you was. Amen. To save you from your sin. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. What was born? A Savior. A Savior. You say, well, preacher, I don't need saving. Oh, yeah, we do. And if you think that way, then you need it more than some of the others. Because we all need a Savior. You say, what do I need saving from? We need saving from ourself. Self will give you more trouble than anybody that you'll deal with. Can I get a witness? Amen. Amen. Self will give you more trouble. The person that you see in your mirror of a morning, amen, will give you more trouble than anybody you deal with during the day. Amen. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Because I deal with me all the time. Amen. Hey, listen, you're blessed. You don't have to deal with me all the time. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Praise God. But hey, I do. I have to deal with me. But I've got Jesus Christ on my side. What Christmas means to me is I have a Savior, praise God, who is sent to me from glory, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Who is that Savior? I'm that Holy Spirit. Don't leave it to chance. It ain't the governor of this state. God help his soul. It ain't the President of the United States. I mean, it ain't the leaders of the European Union. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's the Savior. I mean, that's the one, praise God, to come to die for the sins of the world, so that through Him we might be saved. Ain't you glad it's that way? I mean, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that made the Holy Spirit made sure we know that it's just Christ as Lord is the one. Now watch this, though. He don't stop there. He said, this shall be a sign. There's that shall again. A definite article. He said, it shall be a sign unto you. This shall be a sign unto you. Now he's going to tell them where they can find this baby Jesus. He said, this shall be a sign unto you, so you can know that we're telling you right. Amen. So this will be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Amen. Did that have any significance to these shepherds? Yeah, these shepherds, they were the shepherds of the flock. They were shepherds of the sacrificial lambs that be offered unto God. And when in the tower of the flock, Migdal Edar, they were where the sheep, that's a tower where they were, those little old baby lambs were born. The tower of the flock. And Micah, praise God, he tells us about Micah chapter 4. He said, this is the tower of the flock. This is where those little baby lambs would be born. This is where they would be born and brought in this world. And they would take them because they were sacrificial lambs. And they would be wrapped up, praise God, in swaddling cloths. It's that protecting cloths to protect them from harm. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. They said, this is right. Hey, this you'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes. They said, boys, we need to go check this thing out. They didn't have to hunt around and try to find out where he was at. Praise God, like those wise men, they didn't have to follow a star. They went right to where they knew he would be. Amen. If we'll listen to God, he'll take us right to where we'll know where Jesus is. Praise God. He said, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men who are in the will of God, doing those things, praise God. That's where peace comes from. Peace comes from loving and serving God and having Him in our hearts. Praise His name. Said it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is, now listen to this, which is come to pass. There was no doubting. See, we can't be doubters, praise God. We have to be believers. We have to put our faith and trust in the Lord. We have to put faith and trust in what God says. He said, let us go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Amen. Praise God. They believed the Lord, praise God. That's what Christmas is about. That's what Christmas means to me, just believing what God has told us and the promise that we have in this dear Savior, which is Christ the Lord. How He came, praise God, and we're looking to Him, the author and finisher of our faith, praise God, because He's that most important part. Amen? It's because of what Christmas is. And He said, the shepherd said this, look at verse 16, He said, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Just exactly like they said it would be. Just exactly like they said it would be. They went and they found Jesus lying in a manger. Praise God. What a blessed Savior. What a blessed hope. And He said they came with haste and found Him. And when they had seen it, that was promised with them. Have you seen what God's promised? What He's got promised for you? I've seen it. How do you see it, preacher? Praise God. When He saved me by His marvelous grace, I seen the hand of God come down to where I was. I seen Him convict me of my sin, show me I was an old lost sinner, and show me that He loved me and He wanted to save me. He wanted me to be a part of His glorious family. I don't know about you, that's exciting. Amen. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They had a confirmation of everything that God had promised them. Amen. It's real, praise God. Youngins, it's real. This is true. Christmas. See, Christmas is not a myth. Amen. It's not a fairy tale. It's the real deal. Amen. It's not just tradition. What we do, we do it because we always have. We need to do it for a different reason this year. Lord knew it, praise God, because it means something to us. Amen. If it didn't mean something to you, praise God, I'd come and I'd say, Lord, I want Christmas. I want the Christmas to be real in my life. I want to recognize really the Savior that came from heaven and was born in Bethlehem, lived and bled, died and rose again for my sins, for my salvation. Because it's not a tradition. It's not even a dream. If it was, I wouldn't want to wake up. Amen. If it was a dream, I wouldn't want to wake up. But what is it? What Christmas means, it's a real reality. It's the real deal. It's something that, praise God, that God promised us from the beginning, praise God, that He's delivered for me and you. That through Him, praise God, we also could be delivered to the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, He might get the glory out of our lives. It's time, praise God, just to magnify and live now. Realize who He is. Realize what He's done for us. Can you go back and reflect the magnitude of things that God has done for you? I just think about the times that He's kept me out of trouble. Amen. The time He's given me enough common sense and my consciousness, amen, to do that was right. You know, it's never wrong to do right. And the Bible says it's time to do right now. Amen. It's time to make a choice, an informed choice. And that's what we have here in this Christmas tale. God gives us a choice. And that choice is Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen. It's Christ Jesus the Lord. He's that one that came, praise God, because He was promised. See, God kept His promise. And He gave you the greatest gift that God that anybody could ever receive. He sent His only begotten Son. God sent His only begotten Son to earth to save old sinners like me and you. Glory, hallelujah. That's enough to celebrate. That's what we ought to celebrate. The Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Amen.